الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده لا نبي بعده ولا أمة بعد أمته ولا كتاب بعد كتابه ولا شريعة بعد شريعته أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن إبراهيم كان أمة قانتا لله حنيفا ولم يكن من المشركين وقال تبارك وتعالى قد كانت لكم أسوة حسنة في إبراهيم والذين معه وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كلكم راع وكلكم مسؤول عن رعيته صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله الكريم ونحن لا ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. Respected brothers and elders, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It is the great bounty of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has allowed us to witness this great day of Jumu'ah. It is only the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we are witnessing it. There are many people in the world who, despite having life, don't have health. They aren't able to come for the Jummah Salah. And some of them, despite having life, they aren't able, despite being alive, they aren't able to come to the masjid with relative ease. When they come to the masjid, it is with great difficulty. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through His infinite grace and mercy, has allowed you and I to be here with relative ease. And there are parts of the world wherein a person comes to the masjid, he doesn't know whether he's going to make it home alive. And then sometimes if he makes his home alive, he is elated by the fact that his house is still standing. And sometimes he comes home, he's happy with the fact that members of his household, there's no report that's come to him that somebody from your household has been bombed, has been shot, has been killed. Now really, this is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we often overlook. And unfortunately, at the moment, with the impending unrest, we should be even more grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that until this point we can come to the masjid, we can frequent the masajid. Not very far from here, in town, things are already starting to boil up. So we should thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for these moments that has granted us with safety. And we should always ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for safety. It is in actual fact the instruction of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that if you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for anything, then he emphasized greatly on this that ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for afiyah. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for favorable conditions. Really, there is nothing that we can ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that is more important in our lives than afiyah. Obviously, after passing away with iman. So we should thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the great day of Jummah. And also linked to that is to take this day of Jummah very seriously. And to pass on this great lesson of the day of Jummah being something that the Muslims should hold on dear to and should teach their children about the importance of. Mawlana Badr Alam rahmatullah alayhi had emphasized to those who used to visit Makkah Mukarramah, Saudi at that time, that make the day of Jummah a special day. Emphasize it upon your children. And part of his advices was, on the day of Friday in particular, give them a little bit extra spending, so that this can be something that the child grows up and he has it in his mind that the day of Jummah is extremely important in the life of a believer. And if a person can obviously afford to buy a child a special kurta for the day of Friday. And this is another sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is reported in the hadith that Rasulullah s.a.w. had a special kurta for the day of Jummah. And in another hadith, the Lord has some kalam on it, that Nabi s.a.w. used to prepare for the day of Jummah from the night before. So inshallah, we should try and make efforts on this as well. But anyway, our topic being that of Qurbani, or linked to the lessons of Qurbani, we look into the life of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Now in the Quran and Majid, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praises Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam for his many sacrifices. But it is obviously, when we speak about the month of Dhul Hijjah, when we speak about the month of Hajj, we cannot really speak about them without mentioning Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. There are two main qualities in the life of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, apart from the many brilliant, outstanding qualities in the life of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, which inshallah we'll discuss or touch on rather. One is that of his exemplary iman. And the second is that of his exceptional parenting skills that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showcases in the Quran and Majid. So firstly, we need to recognize who is Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. What is the standing that Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam has amongst the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam? Now Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam makes this dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he begs Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, oh Allah, make for me a good mention, make for me a good name, that people who will come after me, they speak good of me. Now this is not that a person is seeking fame, but rather he wishes that he is remembered for something that is good, being an ambassador, being a foundational pillar in something that is good. So what does he say? He says, وَجْعَلِّي لِسَانَ صِدْقٍ فِي الْآخِرِينَ. Allah, make for me a good mention. And then obviously a dua for the hereafter he mentions, وَجْعَلْنِي مِوَرْثَةِ جَنَّةِ النَّعِيمِ. and make me amongst those who inherit Jannah. But Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam didn't suffice merely on du'as. But there was a lot of effort that Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam made. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, perhaps it is for the sacrifice that Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam had made, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it such that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam himself was actually ordered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you follow the way of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. ثُمَّ أُوحِيْنَا إِلَيْكَ أَنِ اتَّبِعْ مِلَّةَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ حَنِيفًا. That we revealed upon you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that you follow Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. And who was he? Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, the description given of him by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is أُمَّةً قَانِتًا لِلَّهِ حَنِيفًا. He was a nation. He was a nation, he was a conglomerate of good qualities. Good qualities, مُعَلِّمُ النَّاسِ الْخَيْرِ. That he was a people who only used to teach people the good things. And Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, when he comes back to his iman, that he forsook everybody. He stayed away from everybody. Why? Because they were not following the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants him to follow. The way that they were required by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They were not doing this. So Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam broke away from them. And this is really a quality that we ought to imbibe within ourselves. That whenever we see something that is being wrong, or a wrong being committed, or there is a proliferation of sin, then we shouldn't suffice on the mere fact that, well, everybody is doing it. But if it is against the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we should go away, we should break away from them. And that breaking away from that type of environment is not disuniting the ummah. We are not breaking the unity. There is no unity when it comes to the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لَا طَاعَةَ لِمَخْلُوكٍ فِي مَعْصِيَةِ الْخَالِقِ. We cannot obey the creation wherein the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are being broken. And then over and above that, Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, the immaculate du'as that he made for his children. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam starts off his journey with regards to his children. He makes this following du'a to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That, O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rabbi habli min as-salihin. O Allah, bless me with righteous offspring. And this thing about righteous offspring, this concept of righteous offspring, it really doesn't only begin when a person is married already. But before a person actually gets married, he's making a concerted effort. And this dua also linked to this is that a person shouldn't only make it when he is married, but even whilst he is married as well. That he makes this dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rabbi habli min as-salihin. And then there's another dua inshallah that we'll mention later on. But anyways, this dua that a person will make for righteous offspring, the concern starts off when? When, before a person even gets married. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that تُنْكَحُ الْمَرْأَةُ لِأَرْبَعِينَ, that a woman is married primarily for four reasons. And amongst those reasons is, a woman is married sometimes for paisa, as we say. That a woman is married for wealth. And then the second thing is her popularity, or we can say her lineage or her standing in society. And the third is her prettiness, her beauty. And obviously the fourth is for her piety. So then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us that the way to go is, yes, if she possesses everything else apart from piety, then it is a bonus. But the main thing that we should be looking for in a woman is piety. Because if she has this, then piety doesn't fade away. Piety is permanent, whereas everything else is temporary. If you look at wealth, for example, a person may be rich today. Allah protects all of us and all our wealth. If you look at 4 years ago, when there was looting and there was the floods, there were people who were multimillionaires, and they were also standing in a line, they were queuing for bread. So wealth, ghadin wa rahin. Today it's in somebody's hands, and tomorrow it's in another person's hands. And then when it comes to lineage, sometimes a person may work on his lineage, and he preserves his lineage's respect in society, but somebody from the family, he messes up, and then the lineage now becomes tainted. So that also can go away. And then prettiness, we all know, it only takes sometimes one sickness. That a person who's exceptionally beautiful or handsome or pretty, and then Allah Ta'ala tests that person with some sickness, and then all of that beauty goes away. So all of these things are temporary. So what we should be aiming for is something that is permanent. And what is permanent? Something that is enduring. Obviously, this means if a person is really pious, he's not coming across as pious, but he's really pious. Then when a person is really pious, then the piety normally doesn't go away. So a person should aim for this, should look for this in a woman. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't only, Nabi Sassam, doesn't only suffice on that, but if we study the Quran and Majid as well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the incident of Sayyidina Zakariya alayhi salatu wasalam on the importance of making sure that we have a good word or a good mention after we leave the dunya. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the story of Zakariya alayhi salatu wasalam as if so to say that if you want to also continue on the path of the greats, so to say, then rather look at the incident of Sayyidina Zakariya alayhi salatu wasalam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, Kaf haya in sod. Dhikru rahmati rabbika abdahu Zakariya. The first thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on his servant. And this servitude and this being a servant in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is really something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes, which is becoming very difficult nowadays. Because every single one of us has their own opinion. But if you look at the time of Sahaba radiallahu, or rather the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, among the signs of Qiyamah is that everybody will have an opinion. That the person will be excited about his own opinion. That I want to have a say in this, I want to have a say in that. Whereas sometimes you are not really qualified to be having an opinion in that matter as well. But anyway, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this, that his servant, Sayyidina Zakariya alayhi salatu wa salam, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describing his Nabi, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that when he took him for Mi'raj, the Isra and Mi'raj, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions and he chooses this particular title for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Subhanalladhi asra bi'abdihi. The glory be to that being who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took who? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and is referring to him as a servant. So this servitude, when a person is humble, when a person is down to earth, really he becomes elevated in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that how he called out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, إِذْ نَادَى رَبَّهُ نِدَاءً خَفِيًّا. He called to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in such a manner that his voice is lowered down. And obviously this is, some people have a difference of opinion of how to go about making dua, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala really likes this, that when a person is calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he shows his dependence on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What does he say? He humbles himself before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, رَبِّ إِنِّي وَهَنَ الْعَظْمُ مِنِّي وَاشْتَأَلَ الرَّأْسُ شَيْبًا. In other words, the short of this is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I am full of weaknesses. On my side, it is only weaknesses. But oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whenever I make dua to you, وَلَمْ أَكُمْ بِدُوَائِكَ رَبِّي شَقِيًّا. Whenever I make dua to you, oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you never turn me back empty-handed from the jump, as they say, from the get-go. He is extremely optimistic and he's not pessimistic. He has hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that whatever the outcome is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will definitely answer my duas. What is the concern that he has, which is actually the first point of today's bayan as well, that he says that, oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what is my fear? وَإِنِّي خِفْتُ الْمَوَالِيَ مِنْ وَرَائِي. Now the ulama explained that Sayyidina Zakariya alayhi salatu wasalam did not have children, obviously, until this point. And then he had nephews. But he had noticed that his nephews are not towing the line. So every single believer should have this fikr within him, that let me look at my children, let me study my children. Of course, as they are coming of age 7, 8, and they're growing up, do they have this concern of deen? How is their salah? Are they inclined towards deen, etc.? Then from there, we should begin making an effort. Sometimes we tend to overlook this, and we say that when a child has grown up, when he's 18 or 20, he should know that he has to go for salah. I don't have to tell him. He's understanding. He has a brain of his own. No. But it starts off from the very beginning. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, when a child is 7 years old, then instruct him to perform salah. And when he turns 10, then at that age, then you are allowed even to discipline him if the need be. But this doesn't mean that a person should go about abusing their children. Of course, a person should discipline the child within the ambits of Sharia. So then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this. Sayyidina Zakariya alayhi salatu wasalam, وَإِنِّي خِفْتُ الْمَوَالِيَ مِنْ وَرَائِي وَكَانَتِ امْرَأَتِي آخِرًا. But I have this concern that, oh Allah, outwardly, the means that you have placed before us to adopt, it doesn't seem like things are working. But then obviously, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed him that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does against means as well. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses him with a child. But then, another important point that we should call to mind as well, is that whilst we are asking, imploring Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for suitable spouses as men, we should also become suitors as well. Because sometimes really it is unfair that a girl is very pious or coming from a pious background, and the boy who is getting married, he's not really up to the standard of the girl. Now that girl, poor thing, she has to now tolerate that guy, his bad akhlaq, he's not performing salah, he's not a person who's committed to deen. So we ourselves should become suitors as well. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions about this in the Quran al-Majeed in Surah Kaf, that what is it that Allah ta'ala really likes? When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala obviously highlights a quality in a person, it is something that he likes. And then the people, the two parents in Surah Kaf, why does their children, their treasure was preserved? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَكَانَ أَبُوهُمَا صَالِحًا. Their parents were righteous, they were upright. And then the next point is being dutiful towards parents, that we learn in the life of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. That Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, whilst he's giving da'wah to his father, he doesn't address him with titles, obviously, of disrespect. But he honors him and he speaks to him in a very affectionate tone. And he says, Ya Abad, لِمَ تَعْبُدِ الشَّيْطَانِ. Why are you worshipping shaitan? And this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows it later on that if we are being dutiful, if we are being respectful towards our parents, and the unique thing about being respectful to our parents is, if we are respectful to them, then our children later on will show us respect. And this Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows it later on, that how Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam is responding referring to his father. So what does he say? Ya abatif al ma tu'mar. When he asked him, that I have seen in a dream that I am slaughtering you. What do you think? Tell me, what is your eye in this matter? And here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us the importance of making the zihn, the mind frame, the mindset of our children. That our children should be inclined towards deen. So that to such a point that obviously at this point, you are making a mashura with them, and then later on, you can take a mashura from them as well. So he addresses his father in a very affectionate tone. Ya abatif al ma tu umar. My beloved father, you do whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded you. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala highlights this later on, that this is something that is really appreciated in deen, that a person be dutiful towards his parents. وَبَرَّمْ بِوَالِدَتِي وَلَمْ يَجْعَلْنِي جَبَّارًا شَقِيًّا. Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, the description of him that is given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that I will be dutiful towards my parents. Sayyidina Yahya alayhi salatu wasalam, the dua that was made by Sayyidina Zakariya alayhi salatu wasalam, that what does he say? وَبَرَّمْ بِوَالِدَي وَلَمْ يَكُنْ جَبَّارًا أَصِيًّا. That he is also a person who is dutiful towards his parents as well. But then in order for us to achieve all of this, where our children become dutiful, they become respectful, they become people of good standing and good character, there are four principles that are highlighted. One is that of fikr. That if you look at the life of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran Majid, وَإِذِ ابْتَلَىٰ إِبْرَاهِيمَ رَبُّهُ بِكَلِمَاتٍ فَأَتَمَّهُنْ. Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, he passed with flying colors. But when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions to him that you have passed, إِنِّي جَعِلُكَ لِلنَّاسِ إِمَامًا. I am going to make you a leader of the people. Now, the concern of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam is that I have become successful. I have achieved this. But what about my children? What about my progeny? He says, قَالَ مِنْ ذُرِّيَتِي. What about my children? So he's concerned about his children as well. And this concern of his children, and this is something you should really take to heart, it is not only his immediate children. وَمِنْ ذُرِّيَتِي. What about my progeny? The concern should carry on, like we understand this in wealth very well, that if a person has a very booming business, now he will work for his immediate family, then his children, his great-grandchildren, etc. But then he wants that, after some time, couple of millions he has, mashallah, then he's saying, but what about my great-great-grandchildren? Say in Urdu, I think, pote, parpote, or something like that, right? So he's saying, what about my great-great-grandchildren? In other words, generational wealth. He wants them to be well off as well. So Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, he was concerned about the generational iman of his progeny. So we should also be concerned about this. So anyways, this fikr also must also be passed on. As we see, وَوَصَّى بِهَا إِبْرَاهِيمُ بَنِيهِ وَيَعْقُوبُ. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, he passed on this fikr to his children. And then we see, how are those children also passing away? أَمْ كُنْتُمْ شُهَدَىٰ إِذْ حَضْرَ يَعْقُوبَ الْمَوْتِ إِذْ قَالَ لِبَنِيهِ مَا تَعْبُدُونَ مِنْ بَعْدِ. In other words, the fikr has been passed on to the next generation as well. And the next thing is aspirations. The aspirations that we should have for our children should be obviously to incline them towards deen. Obviously, the world, we all have to earn a little bit to earn a living. Allah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions in the Quran Majid, Nabi sallallahu mentions in the hadith, when he says, نِعْمَ الْمَالُ الصَّالِحُ لِلرَّجُلِ الصَّالِحِ. How excellent is wealth for a person who is righteous, and obviously he uses it in a correct manner. So there is no problem with wealth, provided that the person is using it to earn the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As is said in the story of Qarun, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, إِنَّ قَارُونَ كَانَ مِنْ قَوْمِ مُوسَى فَبَغَوْ عَلَيْهِ. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions four principles of wealth. That these people told him that do not misuse your wealth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then mentions that use your wealth to seek the hereafter. وَابْتَغِ فِي مَا آتَاكَ اللَّهُ الدَّارَ الْآخِرَةَ وَلَا تَنْسَى نَصِيبَكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا. Don't forget your share. Earn a living to fulfill the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But then, وَأَحْسِنْ كَمَا أَحْسَنَ اللَّهُ إِلَيْكَ. Be kind with your wealth. Use your wealth to do good and help each other. And then the last thing, وَلَا تَبْغِي الْفَسَادَ فِي الْأَرْضِ. Do not use your wealth to cause mischief. So these are basically the four principles of wealth. But anyways, the aspirations that we should have for our children. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam makes this dua. That, oh Allah, I've left my children in this barren land, and they have no provisions besides them. But oh Allah, the reason that I have left them here, it is because of your command. لِيُقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ. So that they may fulfill your commands. So the aspirations that we should have as parents is that all the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should be fulfilled. And then we see that this child, when this child grows up, Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam, the description that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives of him, that وَكَانَ يَأْمُرُ أَهْلَهُ بِالصَّلَاةِ وَالزَّكَاةِ The fikr has been passed on. He used to command his children with what? بِالصَّلَاةِ All the physical ibadat, all the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, was zakat, and all the monetary ibadat. In other words, the whole of deen, to fulfill the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the next thing that he mentions is, dua, the fikr of dua, that Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, if you notice, from the very beginning, he's making dua. And then at the end as well, he's making dua, wherein he's praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that, oh Allah, all thanks to you, you granted me children in advanced age, so he's thankful for the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then obviously, during in the interim, to continuously make dua for the well-being of our children and the purpose of duas of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. And then the third point is, the effort that a person needs to make. But that effort is not an individualistic effort. That what I say must go. I say this to the child, he must listen to me. Now the other spouse is cross, that my opinion wasn't accepted. So she or he is cross, that why my orders are not being listened to in this house, no. But it should be a collective effort. And parenting is obviously something that needs a lot of mashura. And if the parents themselves, they can't come to an agreement, then they should take external mashura. Alhamdulillah, we have many senior ulama that you can go and take mashura from. So anyways, effort. But then that effort has to be correct. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala highlights this in any effort that we are making. وَمَنْ أَرَادَ الْآخِرَةِ You're intending the hereafter. We're intending something related to the hereafter. So the hereafter. وَسَعَى لَهَا سَعْيَهَا Make the corrected effort. Make the corrected effort. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward the person according to his intentions as well. And then, obviously, the effort primarily should be made on iman. Because if we make efforts on everything else but iman, then this effort is not correct. As we said, وَمَنْ أَرَادَ الْآخِرَةِ The person has to intend the hereafter. So primarily, the iman should be made. As Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam had mentioned, وَإِذْقَالَ إِبْرَهِيمُ رَبِّ جَلْ هَذَا الْبَلَدَ آمِنًا وَجُنُبْنِي وَبَنِيَّ أَن نَعْبُدَ الْأَصْنَامِ Oh Allah, save me and my children from worshipping idols. Who is saying this? Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, Muwahhid-e Azam, the person who left his entire community to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. But he's saying, yeah, Allah, save me and save my children as well. So primarily the effort should be made on iman. And this, our elders are saying that we should really emphasize on the importance of iman. When a child, for example, if for whatever reason a child has to go to a normal school, not an Islamic school, make sure that we have some structures in place wherein that iman will be revitalized, wherein that iman will be rejuvenated once again. As per the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, jaddidu imanakum. And then the second is tarbiyah. Normally tarbiyah, we tend to understand, or rather ta'aleem, we tend to understand ta'aleem to mean that it is reading of fadali amal, Fadhal al-Sadaqat, and all other Fadhal kitabs, and Riyad al-Salihin, and all other kitabs. Yes, that is obviously part of ta'aleem. But ta'aleem has two parts to it, where a person will read the theory of it. But then the main part of the ta'aleem is that should translate into amal. If that is translating into amal, then that is successful tarbiyah. Then that parent can be said that he is successful in as far as bringing up his children is concerned. So these were the few points under the life of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. And then the other thing is to understand how important it is to give our children upbringing, proper Islamic upbringing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran Majid, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu qu anfusakum wa ahlikum nara. Save yourselves and your children from the fire of Jahannam. Now obviously this means that you teach them everything that they need to know in order for them to be fully compatible with Islam. And then the other is the hadith of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is very important. The responsibility that a parent should carry and should weigh over a parent's head all the time. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions, كُلُّكُمْ رَاعٍ وَكُلُّكُمْ مَسْئُولٌ عَنْ رَعِيَّتِ Every single one of us is answerable before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are shepherds and we are answerable before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, whilst a person may be the one who's wearing the pants, so to say, in the house. He's the Amir, yes? But what does the Amir mean, really? If you notice the Arab Jamaats when they come into our countries, they ask, who's the Amir? But Amir, بَمَعَنَا مَسْئُولٌ If you are the head of the house, you are the one who carries the most amount of responsibility in the house. Abdullah bin Abbas, presumably it was, he used to say, أَدِّبْ إِبْنَكَ فَإِنَّكَ مَسْئُولٌ عَنْ وَلَدِكَ You teach your children good manners. Why? Because you'll be asked about your children. And normally we have the habit of giving our children gifts. We want them to enjoy. But what is the best gift? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam will tell us. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentions that the best gift that you can give your child is, مَا نَحَلَ وَالِدٌ وَلَدًا أَفْضَلَ مِنْ أَدَبٍ حَسَنٍ The best gift. The best gift that you can give your children is proper Islamic upbringing. And if you do this, then really, you are successful. And as the Shaykh Rahmatullah Alayhi, under this, كُلُّكُمْ رَائِنْ وَكُلُّكُمْ مَسْئُولٍ عَنْ رَعِيَّتِ As the Shaykh Rahmatullah Alayhi's father, we all know, he was a very strict person. But on one occasion, he was called to Raipur by one of the Hazrat, Hazrat Raipur Senior, Rahmatullah Alayhi. So he told him, come and visit me. So he said, I can't come to you now. Why? Because I am shackled by the upbringing of Zakaria. So we should consider this really as something as very, very important. That I will forego everything that I want to enjoy for the sake of the upbringing of my children. So say, Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Alayhi, that was him. And then another is, during the, when the Umayyads had lost the Khilafah to the Abbasids. So one of the Abbasids, they had imprisoned a whole lot of the Umayyads. And then, after they released them from prison, they asked them this very pertinent question. They asked them, that what are you missing? The Khilafah has been taken away from you. What is it that you are missing the most? He said, we are missing this grand opportunity of giving our children proper Islamic upbringing. It is not the wealth, it is not the stately houses, etc. But the thing that we are missing the most is that we didn't get a chance to give our children proper Islamic upbringing. And then another thing linked to the dua of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, faj'al afidatan minan nas tahwi ilayhim. And to make dua that our children are socially acceptable. When will our children be socially acceptable? When we will work on their iman and their akhlaq. And then they will be socially acceptable. And of course, the dua for sustenance, وَرْزُقْهُمْ مِنَ الثَّمَرَاتِ. That, oh Allah, you provide them with sustenance, because obviously we have to live on the dunya. And then, after all this is said and done, we leave the results in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَوَصَّى بِهَا إِبْرَاهِيمُ بَنِيهِ وَيَعْقُوبُ يَا بَنِيَّ إِنَّ اللَّهَ اصْطَفَى لَكُمُ الدِّينَ فَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. I have done my duty. I have passed on to you this Islam. This is what I have been charged with. But from here onwards, you have to make sure that you take care of your iman and that of your children, and you carry on in that manner. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq. Subhanallah.